One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Daily Animated Tales. Remember, sharing this podcast with 10 friends or family members qualifies you for a shout-out. Today's shout-out goes to Tayta Cruz. To be featured next, simply share this podcast with 10 friends. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Justin. I have to go to school every day with two bodyguards. It sounds pretty cool when I say that. But when you find out what happened to me, you'll see it's not exactly something that you'd want for yourself. My dad is a truck driver. For years, he drove around the whole country. We'd only see him 4 or 5 days a month at most. Even though we barely spent time together, we had this strong bond. On the days when he was home, we used to play board games. He would always let my sister or me win. I miss those days a lot. We were a really happy family. I was happy at home and at school as well. I think that's because I had the best group of friends in the city. Matt, Jamie, Chris, and I have been friends since kindergarten. We went to the same schools. We promised each other that we would stay together until high school's over. Last year, Matt's family moved to another city. Matt convinced them to let him stay here with us. He lives with his aunt right now. Things were going really well, and then something seemingly good happened, which changed our lives. My dad has been playing the lottery for years. Occasionally, he would win small prizes. But one day he hit the jackpot and won the biggest prize in years. So one morning, we woke up as one of the richest families in the city. Many people dream of winning the lottery. My dad quit his job as a truck driver. We moved to a nicer neighborhood, bought a bigger house. From now on, we could buy anything we wanted. This is the good part. And then there's the flip side. A lot of news outlets talked about my dad winning the jackpot. Everyone knew the truck driver who got rich overnight. Relatives and friends who my parents hadn't seen in years started coming over. But why? To celebrate with us? Of course not. Some were straightforward, others less so, but they all wanted money. In the middle of all this ruckus, I was trying to go on with my ordinary but happy life. I didn't care about money, the new house, luxury cars, and all that stuff. My sister started going to a private school. Of course, I didn't change my school. My dad said, "Okay, but at least let my driver take you there." I said, "No, I wanted to take the bus like I used to." The bus stop was a 5-minute walk from the school. One day, I got off at the stop and was walking to school while watching a video on YouTube. I felt like I hit something. I looked up and it was a guy. Just as I was about to apologize, he grabbed me and dragged me to an SUV that was parked nearby. I was so shocked I couldn't even scream. Just as he was trying to push me into the back seat of the SUV, we heard a siren. Whoever was in the driver's seat of the SUV was obviously a coward. He hit the gas and drove away without waiting for his friend. The other guy was stunned. After a moment of hesitation, he started running towards the SUV. Naturally, the police followed him. They caught the guy in no time. It turned out these guys were criminals. When they found out my dad had won the lottery, they decided to kidnap his son for ransom. They'd been following me for days. Finally, they decided to go for it. Thankfully, I was saved by a police car that was passing by. I was curious about how much money they would ask for me, but I could never find out. Naturally, my dad was very worried. And he was right. There could be other people out there who had the same idea. "You can't be going to school alone anymore. I'm going to hire a security company. They will drive you around," he said. "What? I would be going to school with bodyguards? Dad, that's embarrassing," I was about to say. "Justin, I don't want to hear about it. We don't have a choice," he said, and didn't let me protest. That same night, two people came to our house to meet me. They looked exactly like what you would imagine bodyguards to look like. They didn't take their sunglasses off, even inside the house. A guy named Alexander was in charge. "Mr. Justin, you need to comply with some rules for us to be able to do our job," he said. "What kind of rules?" I asked. "The first and most important rule is you can't go anywhere without us. The second rule is that you can only have one person with you at any time, at school or outside. I turned to my dad in shock. What do you mean? Dad, will my friends take turns to hang out with me? I asked. My dad didn't respond. Thank you, Alexander. We will do as you say. We're expecting you at 7 a.m. tomorrow, he said as they left. The following day was one of the most embarrassing days of my life. My dad called the school's administration and told them about the kidnapping, and they let the bodyguards into the school. The whole day, the two bodyguards were following me wherever I went. And of course, everyone was staring at us. The worst part was that they waited by the door while I was in the bathroom. I called my friends the night before and told them about the bodyguards. I told them that only one person would be allowed to come near me. Our first meeting the next morning was really upsetting. When I saw my friends, I forgot about the bodyguards and wanted to go to them. But Alexander stood between us and stopped me. After that, Chris came running to me alone. Jamie and Matt had to watch us from a distance. This wasn't something that we were used to, but there was nothing we could do about it. We had to play along for some time. Nearly a month went by. I thought I'd eventually get used to it, but that did not happen. I was still very uncomfortable walking around with bodyguards. The worst thing was that my relationship with my friends suffered a lot more than I could imagine. We used to hang out at school, and then afterwards we'd go to an abandoned paint factory. It had been empty for years. We called it the Gray Castle. We used to hang out there without anyone bothering us. But now we couldn't see each other at school nor at the Gray Castle. I was so sad to see Jamie, Chris, and Matt drifting away from me. They were my best friends. I had to do something quickly to fix my relationship with them. The only way I could hang out with my friends was to get rid of the bodyguards. Otherwise, they would never let me go. Alexander and the other guy brought me home around 4 every day, stood in front of our house until 6, and then left. I couldn't wait for their workday to be over because by then it would be too late. I decided I would run out through the backyard, go to the Gray Castle, and surprise my friends. When I came home, I went to my mom holding my head. I told her, "Mom, I have a terrible headache. I'm going to take a nap. My room is downstairs." As soon as I got in, I changed my clothes and jumped out to the backyard. The bodyguards were by the front door, so they didn't hear a thing. I took the bus from the other side of the block and rode towards the Gray Castle. I think my acting was too good. My mom thought a headache that bad wouldn't go away with a nap. She came to my room with a glass of water and a painkiller. She saw that I wasn't there. She thought I went to the bathroom, but after a while, when my sister came out of the bathroom, they figured out I wasn't at home. My mom panicked and let the bodyguards know. They called me first, and then when I didn't pick up, they called my dad. The first thing they thought was that I got kidnapped. So they decided to call the police. The police got on it right away and quickly figured out my location by tracking the signal from my cell phone. I had actually seen Alexander's call. He must be calling to tell me something about tomorrow. I'll call him when I get back, I thought. Sometimes he'd call and say, "Heavy traffic expected for tomorrow morning. Let's leave 15 minutes early," or something like that. My plan was to spend a few hours with my friends and come back to my room through the window. But when they realized I was gone, things got crazy. My family and the bodyguards were rightfully worried. Meanwhile, I was happily chatting with my friends at the Gray Castle, totally unaware of what was going on. We had so much to catch up on since we hadn't seen each other properly for weeks. I was doing an impersonation of Alexander, mocking him for taking his job too seriously. Suddenly, we heard sirens outside. Then we heard the loudspeaker. "This is the police. You are surrounded. Put your hands up and come out now." "Police?" We looked at each other in shock. What was happening? Was it a hidden camera prank? We put our hands up like they said and walked outside. There were cops everywhere. Soon the police found out what was going on. No one had kidnapped me. I'd run off to meet with my friends while everyone was looking for me. They picked us up from the empty factory building and took us to the police station. My dad, my two bodyguards, and the families of my friends were waiting for us there. I was so worried about having caused such a big scene. But my dad comforted me. "Justin, I get you, son. This money brought a lot of good things into our lives, but it also caused a lot of issues," he said. "Dad, I was really happy with my friends. I want to hang out with them," I said, and he put his hand on my shoulder and said, "I'll fix this. I got an idea as I was waiting for you," he said. Do you know what my dad's brilliant idea was? To buy the Gray Castle. Yes, he found the owner of the building, made the guy an offer, and turned that place into a playground for us. Then I understood that being rich is not so bad after all. After school, the bodyguards take us to the Grey Castle. We finish our homework in the library first, because that's Dad's condition. And then we do whatever we want to do. Some days we play PlayStation on a giant screen in the game room. Sometimes we have a tournament in the bowling alley. And sometimes we watch a movie in our private screening room. When we play basketball on the court outside, the bodyguards join us as well. By the way, I have to tell you that Alexander can really play. This is my story. I hope you liked it. Thank you for listening. If you like stories based on real-life events, you can subscribe to this channel now. Goodbye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In The News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi. What I'm about to tell you took place in New York. Once you've heard the whole story, I'm sure you will want to share it with someone. Because it's interesting in so many ways. You will definitely be blown away by the ending, too. Our story begins when 19-year-old Bobby arrives at the college where he is going to study. It was his first day at the school. Naturally, he didn't know anyone. It was his first time away from his family. He was excited and a little nervous. He was going to stay at a dorm on campus. He wanted to go and settle into his room right away. As he was walking towards the dormitory, carrying his suitcase, strange things started happening. Other students were greeting him, saying, "Hi, what's up? How was your summer? Nice to see you again." They all seemed to know him. Even though people were acting like his friends, it was Bobby's first time seeing them. It felt almost like a hidden camera prank. Finally, he arrived at his dorm building. When he walked in, someone shouted, "Welcome back, Eddie." "Eddie? Who is that?" When someone else said, "Hi, Eddie," he couldn't take it anymore. "My name is not Eddie," he snapped. The person smiled back, saying, "You're so funny, Eddie." Bobby found his room. He began unpacking his suitcase. There was a knock on the door. When he opened it, there was a guy around his age. While Bobby was waiting for him to say something, the guy's eyes widened. He was speechless for a while. Then he asked, "Were you born on July 12th? When Bobby said, "Yes." The guy said, "Are you adopted?" Bobby said, "Yes," again. And the student said, "You won't believe this, but you have a twin. His name is Eddie. I'm Eddie's best friend. You look a lot like him, but I knew you were not Eddie," he said. This is how Bobby found out that he had a twin named Eddie, whom he knew nothing about until then. Without wasting time, he got in the car with Eddie's friend, and they drove to the city where Eddie lived. When they got to the house, Bobby knocked on the door. A moment later, someone who looked just like him opened the door. It was Eddie. They were both very surprised. They felt as if they were looking in the mirror. Of course, it was natural for them to be so surprised. If you had grown up with a twin, it wouldn't be as shocking to see someone who looked just like you. But they didn't know they had a twin until they were 19, and only met then. This was in the days before the internet. There were newspapers, TV, and radio. When a newspaper heard about this, they sent a reporter right away. The reporter wrote about Bobby and Eddie, who just found out that they were twins. A photographer took photos of them. When the story ran, everyone was talking about it. But that wasn't the end of it. There was another twist to the story. Elsewhere in the country, a mom came running to her son's room. She tried to wake him up. "David, get up! You need to see this!" She was screaming and showing him the newspaper she was holding. David finally got himself up. He took the paper from his mom and read the headline: "Twins separated at birth reunite after 19 years." He looked at the photo in the story. When he realized the two people in the photo looked exactly like him, he jumped up from his bed. When he calmed down, he called the paper, told them about his situation, and asked for a phone number where he could reach the twins. Of course, the people at the paper were surprised too. They gave him Eddie's phone number. David called the number. Eddie's mother picked up. They are not twins. They are triplets. And I'm their brother, he said. She was so shocked that she dropped the phone. The triplets organized a get-together right away. Even though they had just met, they immediately felt as if they had grown up together. Thanks to their special connection, they never felt like strangers. Everyone was interested in their incredible story. They were interviewed on different TV shows. They were getting famous. Now everyone in the country knew of the triplets that were reunited when they were 19. But how were they separated in the first place? First of all three of them were adopted. A private adoption agency in New York gave them to three different families. These couples didn't know the child they adopted was a triplet. The agency had kept this fact from them. After learning this, the adopted families got together and went to visit the adoption agency. They had a meeting with the management. Their first question was, "Why didn't you tell us these kids were triplets? It was impossible to find a family that would accept all three babies. That's why we had to separate them," they explained. All three families said, "If you had told us, we would have taken them. We would not have separated them." They weren't satisfied with the agency's explanation. They left the agency angry and frustrated. One of the fathers realized he forgot his umbrella there. He went back to pick it up. He saw something strange when he went back into the meeting room. He had saw the people they had met with opening a bottle of champagne and clinking their glasses. The managers of the agency were celebrating. He picked up his umbrella and left. He described what he had seen to the other parents. Of course, they were shocked. They couldn't understand what they were celebrating after such a tense meeting. Years later, they would learn that the agency had lied to them that day. There was another reason why they hid the fact that the boys were triplets. They were celebrating the fact that they had managed to keep that reason a secret. So, what was the real reason? You will soon find out. At the time, the triplets were enjoying being reunited after so many years. They moved in together. Every day they were seeing how much they resembled each other. For example, they found out that they liked the same type of clothes, same food, same colors, and even the same brands. The funniest part was they were completing each other's sentences. So even though they had grown up in three different households, they were still very similar. The brothers kept appearing on TV shows as guests. That made them even more famous. People on the street were telling them, "Why don't you guys make a movie? We want to see you on the big screen." The brothers figured out that it was time to monetize their newfound fame and opened a huge restaurant they named Triplets. People filled the restaurant to see the famous triplets. The business was really good. They made over $1 million at the end of their first year. Meanwhile, a journalist had uncovered something big. A child psychiatrist had launched a secret study years earlier. For this project, he had made an agreement with a private adoption agency. The agency would separate twins and give them to families of different socioeconomic status. Because the goal of the study was to determine how different they would grow up to be if they were raised in different families. The worst part was, they were hiding from the adopting family the fact that their baby had a twin. You see what happened, right? The mother of the triplets brought her babies to this adoption agency. The agency gave the triplets to three families of different status as part of this secret study. To understand this further, let's take a look at Bobby, Eddie, and David's families. Bobby's dad was a doctor, and his mom was a lawyer. They were a well-educated couple. They earned a lot of money. They lived in an expensive neighborhood. Eddie's father was a school teacher. They weren't rich or poor. It was a middle-class family. They led a lifestyle befitting their income. And finally, David's family was working class. They were immigrants. They were the least educated among the parents. They ran a small grocery store and had a hard time making ends meet. Thus, we can clearly see that one of the triplets was given to a family with a higher level of income and education, another one to a middle-class family, and the third one was given to a lower-income family with a lower level of education. It was also discovered that the people conducting this secret study paid regular visits to the children. They ran intelligence and personality tests that lasted for hours. They observed them in their daily lives and took notes. For example, to see if there were any differences in their hand-eye coordination, they filmed the children playing Frisbee. These home visits lasted until the kids were about 9 to 10 years old. Then suddenly they stopped. So why weren't the families suspicious of these visits? These are routine tests that we conduct on every adopted child. We need to keep track of these kids as an agency, they were told. Which was not true. As we know now, the tests were being done for the secret study. The journalist who uncovered this horrible truth also found the psychiatrist behind the study. He learned that the study continued for about 10 years and then was stopped. The results hadn't been shared with the public since it was assumed it would elicit a negative reaction. We know that all of the records related to this case remain sealed in the Yale University archives. The journalist also traced the children in the study and visited those he could find. Of course, they were all grown up. He saw that the twins separated at birth were struggling with chronic depression at later stages of their lives, including the triplets. They were having really serious mental health issues. Tragically, one of them, Eddie, died when he was only 33 years old.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.